Welcome to God's Will for Christian Unity, produced by the Be United in Christ Outreach Ministry. The mission of the Be United in Christ Outreach Ministry is to teach and promote Christian unity in accordance with God's Word. As believers, we all have a desire to know God's will and obey it. This wonderful resource will open the doors of your understanding on the important topic of Christian unity, and help you to take steps to display this love-based unity in your everyday life. God's Will for Christian Unity. 30 Revealing Bible Passages. Preface. Consider this question for a moment. If you had less than a day to live, what would you be thinking about? How would you use the final hours of your life if you knew the end was so close? Now consider the events from the days before Christ's crucifixion. Jesus, knowing that he only had one more day to live, used his final hours to demonstrate love for his disciples and pray for their unity. To begin this book, we want to consider these three particular events: an act of service, a commandment, and a prayer. Jesus washes the disciples' feet. Washing the feet of guests during the first century was a task reserved for the lowest household servants. It was stinky, smelly work. It fell far beneath the dignity of the powerful, wealthy, and proud. The disciples were shocked when Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. John 13, verses 3 through 5. Simon Peter tried to refuse this service, not because of his great humility, but because of his great confusion. Why would his teacher, the Lord Jesus Christ, stoop so low? Once the task was completed, Jesus explained his actions. "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, for so I am. And if I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." John 13, verses 12 through 17. The disciples were right to call him their teacher and Lord, for that is who he was. All things were created through him and for him. In him the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. And yet, he washed their feet. Jesus is the exact representation of the nature of God, and he washes feet. And if he, the creator and ruler of the world, so readily serves his disciples, then how much more should his disciples serve one another? That's what Jesus wants us to do. During our brief stay on earth, we should humble ourselves in service to other believers. Jesus gives a new commandment of love. From his humble act of service, we turn to his command. Shortly after Jesus washed the disciples' feet, he said, "Little children, I am with you a little while longer. Where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." John 13, 33 through 35. The disciples already knew that they were expected to love God with all their hearts, souls, and minds, and to love their neighbors as themselves. Just 2 days earlier, they had heard Jesus say, "On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets." Matthew 22:40. Everything God demanded of Israel under the old Mosaic covenant was encapsulated in these two great demands. Now the Lord added a third demand. His disciples must love one another as he had loved them. This new requirement was given in the context of the new covenant that Christ was establishing through his death. These three great love commandments, loving God wholeheartedly, loving others as ourselves, and loving other disciples as Jesus loved us, summarize what the Lord expects of his people under the new covenant until he returns for them. Not only does Jesus want us to surrender our pride in serving others, but he also wants us to surrender our lives in loving others. We belong to a new family, God's family, and have been taught to love as our Heavenly Father loves. Jesus is talking not to spiritual orphans, but to those who are adopted into the family of God and secured by his love. He tells these little children to love one another, not simply as they already love themselves, but as he loves them. In other words, his followers are to love one another with a very special kind of love, a sacrificial love that makes us willing to lay our lives down for one another. How will the world know the disciples of Jesus? Our Lord makes it clear. They'll know us by our love for one another. He tells us what kind of love it should be. Not a flaky, worldly love, but a Christ-like, sacrificial love. Jesus prays for unity. From his command, we turn to his marvelous prayer in John 17. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you. That they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me I have given them, that they may be as one just as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me, and have loved them as you have loved me. John 17:17-23. Jesus asked the Father to set his disciples apart from the world and to sanctify them through the truth of his word. Then he prayed for those of us who would believe in him through their words, and he prayed for unity. Many would come to believe in Jesus Christ through the preaching of the disciples, now written down for us in Scripture. People from every tribe and tongue would compose his church. People of various cultures, with various traditions, speaking various languages, would hear the gospel, believe, and be united to Jesus Christ and to one another. So what Jesus asked the Father to do is something only he can do. Make us one, one with God, and one with each other. Through our unity, the world can know that Jesus Christ was truly the Son of God, sent from God to bring salvation for the people of God. These three events from the final hours of Christ's life are essential threads of Christian unity. The grace of God at work in his people, through his word, will result in Christians living the way Jesus commands us. When God's people display the kind of sacrificial service, sacrificial prayer, and mutual love and unity Jesus asks his Father to bring about. The watching world cannot explain it away. By loving one another, Christians express their love for God and extend his love to others. The three great love commandments are essential to fulfilling Christ's great commission. God's will for Christian unity presents 30 passages of Scripture, together with many cross-references to identify and explain specific truths and themes of Scripture related to unity in the body of Christ. God loves the unity of the church. He hates disunity. Jesus Christ gave his life for the salvation of his people, to reconcile them to God and to one another. This book is a call for diligence, for lives to be changed by the gospel. We must preserve our union by avoiding quarrels, pursuing peace, refuting false teachers, and pursuing holiness. Section 1. God's will is Christian unity. God desires the unity of his people. Our unity is his will. The God who created us also cares for us. Through Scripture, he reveals our deep problem with sin and our separation from him. He reveals how we can be forgiven, reconciled to him, and saved from his wrath. The death and resurrection of Jesus Christ is the climax of the Bible. Because of his death and resurrection, those who repent from their sin and turn to Christ are reconciled to God. They are grafted together in the church, the body of Christ, and sent into the world to make disciples of their Lord. They are sent with the message of salvation in Christ, and they are sent with their testimony that Jesus really is the Christ. Their testimony can be summarized in the words, love and unity. Jesus said, "By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." John 13:35. By the Holy Spirit, we are enabled to love one another. Jesus prayed to the Father for his followers, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. John 17:23. Through the Holy Spirit, we are united to Christ and to each other. This section focuses on God's command that Christians love one another and learn to live in harmony with one another so that Christ is exalted above all things and the power of the gospel is displayed throughout the world. Fulfilling the three great love commandments, loving God, others, and other Christians, glorifies God, evangelizes the lost, and accomplishes his will for Christian unity. Chapter 1. Loving God requires loving others. Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Matthew 22:37-39. You shall love the Lord your God. You shall love your neighbor. Jesus answered two different critical questions in the same way. When asked, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Luke 10:25. And then, "Which is the great, most important commandment?" Matthew 22:36. Jesus offered the same answer, "Love God and love your neighbor." If there is a way for human beings to earn their way to God and obtain eternal life, then Jesus spelled it out. His response captured the essence of God's law. In Luke 10, the lawyer summed up the law of God by saying, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. and your neighbor as yourself. Verse 27. To which Jesus replied, "You have answered rightly. Do this, and you will live." Verse 28. A sobering thought. Love God with your whole heart. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Do these two things perfectly for your whole life, and you will live with God forever. The opposite must also be true. Fail in any way, and you will die. The law of God is that serious. The cost of disobedience is that severe. The following pages explore the connection between these two great commandments of God and eternal life, and how they relate to Christian unity, which, as we will see in chapter 3, is the third great love commandment.